Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and you know, I'm pretty excited for the new season of YOLO coming out next month. It'll be the most positive connotation that phrase has had in a long-ass time. Wink. And with me, I have...
We are gathered here today to mourn the loss of Aubrey Drake Graham. Okay, that's enough. Time to party!
And
everyone look every time a crowd shouted A minor this month. Yeah, you get the joke.
Yeah, so you know what? Fuck our usual formalities. We know it's episode 381. We know what we've been doing all week. How about that halftime show?
Straight fucking fire.
Yep.
So I'm gonna throw it over to y'all if you have any additional insight, because I'll admit I caught it after the fact. Like, when I saw the upload go up on, like, the YouTube channel, because I wasn't watching the Super Bowl live.
Well, I did. And I was watching it with three different Discord servers at the same time, because that's just what I do. And, watching it live, a pretty fun, wild experience seeing it all play out. You had Samuel L. Jackson as Uncle Sam. Yes, yeah. Really. That was a lot of fun. We got a brief performance of the GNX teaser, which tells me that there has to be a full song of that coming out somewhere, sometime. Right?
We just have to find out if those rumors of a deluxe edition are true or not.
It will be nice. But yeah, the set list was the teaser, Scrabble Up, Humble, DNA, Euphoria, which was a pleasant surprise to hear.
Yeah, I was expecting that.
Yeah, not expecting that at all. Led into Man at the Garden. I'm forgetting the list because websites are terrible at being... Okay, here we go. Then into Peekaboo. Then SZA came out for Luther and All the Stars, which was fun. And all throughout the set, we had teases of the song.
Yeah.
You know I like to play their favorite song, but they like to sue. Wink, wink. But yes, it did lead into a performance of Not Like Us, which you had 65,000 people screaming in unison, The Chord.
Yeah.
And we close it off with TV Off with a surprise guest on the floor, Mustard. I do the thing, but my voice is kind of shot, yeah. Yeah. Also, I just want to mention this. At the very end, when the performance was all said and done, we got a crowd shot. They had lights in the crowd and spelled out game over. Now, Drake was in Australia at this time. He's doing a little mini tour because may as well go somewhere. Yeah. And you had to know. You had to know that he knew and he heard about it, and he is just seething on the inside.
Yeah, especially one of his exes, Quickball. I mean, one of his exes, Quickball.
Yeah, I have to ask, Mr. Graham, are you out of your fucking mind? How do you fuck up being with Serena Williams of all women?
Drake, I'm going to give you some friendly professional advice here. You say he's in Australia, was it?
Yeah, and apparently during one of his shows, he gave away $45,000 in cash to people in the crowd. I don't know why, but I guess good publicity is better than being reminded that you are a terrible human being in front of an audience of hundreds of millions of people around the world.
Yeah, so my advice to you, Drake, just stay there in Australia. Let's think about this for a second. So, okay, his ex-girlfriend Crip walking on the stage. The first thing I saw from the performance was the smile. You know, the moment when he just looks at the camera, like the movie smile, and is like, say, Drake. There was what else? Like the game over thing, all the teases, just like, bro, if I got dog walked this badly over the course of a year, Fuck trying to get back at him through a beef or a lawsuit. I'm faking my death, changing my name, getting plastic surgery, and fucking moving to New Zealand. Fuck being a rapper, I'm living with the goddamn hobbits at this point. Just, dude. You are never coming back from that, sir. It's over. You lose. Good day, sir.
Yes. Yeah. You have lost like Kansas City lost. The game was not close. I know the score was 40-22. It was not close. The actual score in the third quarter, Philadelphia was leading 34-0.
God damn.
Yeah, watch that too. Yeah.
Bro, that's Jesus Christ. Yeah. That really is some fucking Drake level L right there.
It was a good night for the rest of us who are good people who hate Kansas City. Mm. Nothing against the city, it's just your football team that is evil.
And also I was gonna say that the other Super Bowl pregame stuff and performances, they were very, very black as fuck, and I dig that. I really dig that. With that in the Super Bowl, you're definitely a black as a Super Bowl, and I live for it. It's gonna be a shame because we're gonna follow that. Like who's gonna follow that up?
No idea. No idea, but next year's Super Bowl is going to be in San Francisco, so we never know what's going to happen. And yes, it was very much for the culture, especially considering a certain someone was in the building for half of the game before bailing. Gee, I wonder why.
This performance made all the worst people mad, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. Addendum, it made all of the right people mad.
Yeah.
That too.
So, two weeks in a row, the right people got mad. I mean, the right people got mad, and that's a good thing. If you get my drift.
Yes, it's a very good thing. Let these fuckers die mad, because they're never happy, ever, about anything.
Y'all would never be happy, even if you try to make us unhappy, we can still, we can try to make us happy while you just stew in your little super misery. I bet it's terrible.
Yeah, that's a stew worthy of a Kitchen Nightmares episode.
Yeah. It probably tastes like that fake poppy soda drink, whatever it was, which the commercials this year were not great.
Yeah, they were terrible. Like, oh my god! Like
when your only highlights are Harrison Ford in a Jeep and Charlie XCX biting an apple. Yeah, it was not a good year for Super Bowl commercials at all.
I have a bottle of Mountain Dew next to me right now. I didn't watch that commercial, but you all had to make me look at the screenshots. Why, internet?
If I see it, you do too.
Why, Seal? We thought you were cool. Why would you do that?
Truly, we live in hell world. But, so I feel like the best way to cap this off is simply to quote what is apparently the pinned comment on the official NFL upload of the concert. And I quote, "Not even Aaron Yeager had this much hate in his heart."
It was apparently unpinned after some time, but for a moment it was, and that is something that we will never forget.
And how. Anyway, with that intro business out of the way, time to get on with the usual song business, of which we only have three songs.
Yeah, three songs.
Yeah, three songs. Two of which actually came out this past week. The other one came out a little bit before, but we'll get to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, our schedule is weird like that.
Yeah, and they are varied, as in get one of these get a different genre.
Yep. Variety pack. So, of course, as always, there will be at least a tiny playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us. So, You know what, Mark? Why don't you take over this first song here?
Okay! Okay, first up, Rob Marciano. Last time I heard from him, he did an album, that was fucking late that I had to, I gotta talk about that one too during that roundup, which I don't know when, but yeah. So anyway, he said to do a track or put an EP out soon with DJ Premier. You know, that DJ Premier. Legendary hip hop producer, DJ, you know, all the scratches and shit. Yeah, that guy. And they got a little track to call Armani Session. That's what the EP is called. EP is called like Armani Session. And of course you get your very classic choice of hip hop. You got the scratches, you got the samples. Because considering samples from Nas, Biggie, Slick Rick, and Lil Kim. And of course, you got myself rapping about this. Just bragging about all the shit he got, like bad the cashier wearing cashmere, it's like back to the jacket, it's khaki pants. Only rapper sort of when bunny rapper is money magnet, which basically I got this fucking money, I got to spend all this shit. Which sounds braggy, but in a way that's actually cool and has some style to it. Which of course the rounds are good, this flow's very nice, the dungeon's very, boom bap old school type of shit. And like I said, you got that primo trademark of scratches and all that shit, which of course once again sounds nice.
The vibes are very immaculate. Now, moving on to the next track here, it looks like the second song on the docket here comes courtesy of Poppy. That's kind of fast. Fucking Negative Spaces was like November, and apparently she's got her new album already dated for March 7th called Tsunami Sea. Now, the single that we have to discuss here is called No Loss, No Love. And it is definitely quite the forward leap from the Bring Me the Horizon core of her last couple of albums. This one, it's a very slow but steady groove, but it belts out these absolute, like, fucking monstrous walls of, like, these detuned 8-string guitar riffs with this very ominous ethereal melody over top. With, of course, the guitars being punctuated by plenty of those very screeching effects, like those digitized, like, scrapes and just distortion in general. Between those big, massive chord chugs, and even some nice, more synthetic, like, pulsing bridges, because you always gotta have some of that synthetic stuff in there. And I gotta say, she was already kind of on the up and up with her vocals on Negative Spaces, but Poppy's vocals have jumped quite exponentially higher than from where she was there. Far less nasally, and carry more of this, like, aggro punch to them. Yeah, this fucking kills. I honestly think the next Poppy album might be her best one yet, and probably her first legitimately great one.
I think you read that wrong.
No, everything's right here. No Loss, No Love, Tsunami Sea, Poppy, it's all there. Come on.
Yeah. Are you sure about that? I mean, come on. We know this because of that one interview person at the Grammys. I mean, they would never get things wrong, right?
Of course. Everyone knows that red carpet interviewers know everything about everything.
And yeah. Clearly, they would never mistake one female metal singer for another, right? That would be ridiculous.
You know what? I gotta ask, was that same person was from Associated Press? Or another magazine?
Probably.
That explains that and that other review they fucked up so badly.
Yeah, they tend to do that, but we're gonna ride this joke for a little bit longer because it's just very, very funny and goddamn, Poppy is mad on this track. The vibes here are intense and heavy and crunchy and growly. While pulling off some major looks like damn bitch, slay. I mean, in this video, she looks like Courtney LaPlante. It's amazing, yeah, isn't it?
It kind of does. I thought myself, this is pretty interesting. I might want to check out the rest of it, the rest of the discography, because they sound pretty, because she sounds pretty good.
Yes, it does. Though this does remind me, how much longer do you think we have to wait for some new Spirit Box?
Hopefully not too far away, because we need that new album, which I think they got something coming out soon. Then again, I could be wrong because, you know, information on the internet is just so difficult to figure out nowadays.
Yeah, especially with everything being AI garbage shoved into our faces.
Thanks, everywhere. Google.
Stop with the AI shit.
How do you fuck up an ad about cheese? It's cheese! Anyway, moving on to the last track here. So, yeah, this is the one that came up literally right, like, a few hours before we had to go record last week. But because of our schedules work, we couldn't slot it in. It just is what it is. So, as a reminder, Lady Gaga has had a couple new songs out in the past several months. And she has now officially confirmed that March 7th, again, another fucking March calendar release, holy shit. is gonna be the release date for her newest studio album, Mayhem. And, of course, coinciding with the announcement, we have a new single called Abracadabra. Very fitting, because, magic, and witch magic... the point is, you know, that kind of witchy aesthetic. Because the video itself does kind of go into the, honestly feels like it's drawing from a lot of the same visual ideas as the Bad Romance video. And aesthetically speaking, this kind of falls in line with the previous single that we had gotten, you know, Poison, I think it was called. Why am I blanking on the name right now? Look, the point is, it has more in common with that than with Die with a Smile, because this is kind of swerving more into the kind of dark pop ideas that's always kind of poked its head in and out of her work, but here it's very much front and center. The tempo is very consistently thumping and bouncy with this very, like, 16-note pulsing synth in the background. These kind of echoing guitars that poke their way through the synths and kind of the lead up to the chorus and everything. And of course, the way Gaga sings, of course she's got like that just, you know, big pop vocal delivery, while also mixing things up with, in particular, the kind of unusual verbalization of the title. Just that there's this very like odd way that she kind of enunciates the words in rhythm with the beat and everything. It's very, very good.
I will agree. I'll also point out this song premiered in music video form as a commercial during the Grammys, which is interesting and fun. I want more people to do that because you have nothing to lose nowadays. Just do it. And as a club banger that is clearly meant to invoke the Fame monster era Gaga, it does a pretty fine job of it, if only because that chorus groove and beat is infectious. That's a sign of a good beat and a good rhythm. I had another point I was going to say, and I totally forgot. It's probably wasn't that important anyway.
You know, it'll probably come back eventually.
Oh, but I remember what it was. This song was actually used as bumper music during the Super Bowl, which is a good sign for, you know, any song getting used like that. There was a bit of cognitive dissonance when, during one such lead-out to commercial, we got another one of those fucking He Gets Us commercials, the one with all the AI-generated pictures and feeds, set to a cover of Depeche Mode's Personal Jesus by Johnny Cash. I hate these fucking people. I really do.
Welcome to Hell World.
We know where your money comes from. You're not sneaky.
Maybe why most commercials suck nowadays.
We used to be a proper country.
Did we really?
Man, I'm glad I skipped out on those commercials. But anyway, that about does it for the new songs. Yeah, kind of short and sweet there. So now we're just going to jump straight into the news. And speaking of Grammys talk, this first one here is a follow-up to a notable event from the 2024 Grammy Awards. A thing that I don't remember anything about, other than that one particular news story about rapper Killer Mike getting arrested for some backstage altercations and stuff. At the time, he blamed, quote, an overzealous security guard, and there was just a lot of confusion about where to go after collecting the awards, and led to a misdemeanor battery charge, but ultimately he didn't get any serious criminal charges. However, now, according to Rolling Stone, he's pretty much trying to sue the labor company SNS Labor Force or overstepping their security duties in order to, quote, degrade, embarrass, and physically hurt him. The lawsuit says that the guard caused him to be falsely arrested and had him placed in jail during the remainder of the Grammy ceremony, depriving him of a chance to, quote, appear on primetime television in front of a huge international audience. Further alleges that the guard physically assaulted and battered him to prevent him from leaving by grabbing his arm. So, yeah, just a lot of alleging of, you know, the false arrest, imprisonment, battery, all that stuff. Of course, the labor company calls it unfounded and just all that stuff.
I'm pretty sure there were witnesses around the area when it happened, so this could be a very solid case. Also, to any of you rent-a-cops out there, don't do that!
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, fucking rent-a-cops. You could just trip them down the fucking stairs and probably solve a lot of problems. This is totally not an allusion to current events whatsoever.
Or you know, just lead him down a very, very large slide in the middle of a city park and just watch them fall to their death.
Big ass Paul Blart motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you get down to it, they aren't Paul Blart. They're more observe and report.
Okay, that's worse.
Oh, God, that is worse.
I was wondering if that reference was going to still land in 2025. Turns out it does. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a thing. Now, moving on to the next topic here. We already had, like, one of the first major pop releases of the year a couple weeks back with The Weeknd's Hurry Up Tomorrow. Many Takes a Plenty. Generally positive. Also, although some criticisms directed at its length, I'm still sorting out how I feel about all that.
We'll talk about it in due time.
Yeah, and hopefully there should be something on the site soon.
Hopefully. It's been a really busy week on my end. But, yeah, the, of course, news we have to talk about here is the fact that there is a film adaptation that is coming out in May. And we officially have the first major trailer for the film, which, of course, stars The Weeknd, also starring Jenna Ortega and Barry Keoghan. I think that's how it's pronounced. And just commenting on the feel of the trailer itself, I mean, if you were able to pick up on the general vibe of the lyrical themes of the album, then you're kind of going to pick up on the vibe of what it's laying down here in the trailer. There's definitely a lot of disconnected, seeming surreal images, but with that kind of loose connecting thread of the idea of The Weeknd having an existential crisis about not just his fame, but his own mortality as well. And while it could be interesting as, like, you know, an actual visual piece of storytelling, just whatever, you know, directorial choices and effects they lay down in front of the audience, remember that the idol exists.
Apparently there was some behind the scenes bad blood between Sam Levinson and one of the guys responsible for this movie, so I think the overall feel about the idol is a lot of regret.
Yeah.
I will say, based on the trailer, I am at the very least intrigued for what this could possibly be. Like, obviously, this might be a very self-referential kind of theatrical narrative. At this point, I've got nothing to lose. I may as well go see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I could probably be into, although the trailer looks fine, like, and okay, and looking at the people behind it, like, the director's name is Trey Edward Schultz, who I believe is responsible for that one movie, It Comes at Night, which, again, that's an A24 horror movie that an almost evil kind of light.
Okay. I don't think I've seen that one yet.
Yeah. Also know that of course, doing the music is well, guess. Okay, fuck it. Won't exploit never.
Yeah, it's OPN.
Yep.
Yeah. And apparently, I think one of the guys that was arguing with Levinson is dude's name Kevin Turin, I think. Who passed away in November 2023.
That makes the whole thing feel a lot worse, considering there was, from what we understand, a bit of a significant blow up between him and Sam Levinson.
Yeah, there's always a lot of complicated stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah. I just hope it's not another idol, please.
Considering how the idol ended, which was very, very, very badly, like, we're at the bottom of the barrel. There is nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say this. I hope it will do some acting lessons, or at least took some Chris Man hard. I don't know.
We shall see when it hits theaters. But anyway, moving on to the next topic here. In yet another moment of brand synergy between Decibel Boost and Podcast ONA. And I swear to God, the words I'm going to say in a few short moments, I am not making up. I'm looking at the article right now, and it still feels like I'm hallucinating these words. So, I gotta admit, I don't really follow a lot of an overwhelming amount of webtoons or manhwa or whatever the hell you call it. So I'm out of the loop on a lot of the big stuff. Like, for example, whatever the hell Solo Leveling is. My only understanding is that the pro tag is, like, OP or something, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those OP power fantasy kind of shows.
Yeah, and it gets kind of boring afterwards.
So like every other manhwa. Well, at least the ones that are action. I choose to read more sophisticated works of Korean comics, like Dangerous Convenience Store, which features a 20-something convenience store employee getting railed by a fucking mafia member. It's actually a really good BL story, I swear to God.
So, okay, oh, that's what you mean by railed. Okay, I thought you meant they got whacked, but good to know, okay.
No, oh, there's definitely some whacking if you catch my drift. wait, nudge.
I imagine there's a lot of backdoor dealings, if you know what I mean.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely, in visceral detail.
Nothing like a good business relationship, if you know what I mean.
Puns.
Who's line references?
We can just keep going, but anyway, back on topic, so... Yeah, the Solo Leveling anime adaptation is currently in the middle of its second season, and they just made a very out-of-left-field casting announcement for both the English and Spanish dub. Apparently, they are enlisting the efforts of Grammy-nominated Colombian singer J Balvin. So, what gets me is the fact that he's in both. Like, is he doing his voice lines twice in both languages, or is there a character there that just happens to speak Spanish?
I have no idea. I don't watch this show. I'm not interested in it. All we know is that it is a, quote, important role, whatever the hell that means.
Okay,
I would ask, how did they afford J Balvin? Like, oh, wait, it's Crunchyroll. Because it's always Crunchyroll. Like, they might do shit like this, but then she put on other shit. Because, of course. And I'm...
Yeah.
Considering, you don't forget, they don't want to say, yeah, we're not going down to Don, even though that's, that's quite popular on their site, despite the moment. Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of shit we could get into, none of which has anything to do with music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this, well, I mean, I guess it's pretty, well, interesting to see how he'll do with both English and Spanish dubs. Even though, again, from the show itself, this is just... not that good. Kind of boring. It gets me kind of boring. It's like, oh, if he does it all, he's all powerful. And he gotta go, okay, I meant the dub is good, but dub is good, but everything else is like, well, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at the dub cast here, and I mean, there are some talented actors in here. Alex Lee, Damon Mills, Trina Nishimura, Sungwon Cho, Ian Sinclair.
Yeah, the dub is really good. It's really good. That's what kind of saves the show a bit.
Shows like this are meant only for audience retention, not so much engagement.
Yeah.
By the way, this is completely unrelated, but since we're talking about questionable business decisions, you'll do this, but you won't dub season 2 of The Vampire Dies in No Time, you fucking bastards.
Yeah, and now you're mad at that shit. God, motherfucker.
I am still mad over the lack of an English dub for Bocchi the Rock. That's a contribution to this statement.
Yeah, so we need to veer out of this, or else we're just gonna get stuck on weeb shit all day.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm getting one thing out of the way. Now I know why my top of anime last year weren't from y'all. Well, one of them was, but well, yeah.
So
I'm done.
Let's move on to the next topic here. So somehow Ozzy Osbourne is still alive. In spitting in the face of God and everything he's throwing at him, the man still continues to draw breath. So I guess some people figured that while he's still technically running around, they might as well get together for one last Black Sabbath show. And they supposedly mean it this time, as in the entire original lineup, you know, but not with any substitutes, as in Geezer Butler, Tony Iommi, Ozzy, and Bill Ward, and a supposed final show in, of course, Birmingham, set to take place July 5th at Villa Park. And apparently, they got quite the star-studded lineup to complement the band's final set, featuring performances from the following: Metallica, Slayer, Pantera, Gojira, Hailstorm, Anthrax, Alice in Chains, Mastodon, and even some individuals like Billy Corgan, Fred Durst, Jake E. Lee, K.K. Downing, Tom Morello, and the new frontman of Ghost, Papa V. Perpetua. It's still just Tobias.
Obviously, picking out cool stage names is not his forte, unlike Mr. Sleep Token 2 of Sleep Token, which is an incredible stage name.
Yeah, that dude was clearly cooking. So
this is it. This is really it.
Yeah. Assuming he even lives that long, because his health is really bad. Like, there was even separate articles out, like, in the various metal blogs that were like, he can't even fucking walk anymore.
We had a final tour of Genesis with Phil Collins singing. He basically just did all of it sitting down. It is what it is. It's terrible. Parkinson's is terrible. Here's hoping that this whole concert goes off without a hitch. We don't have any terrible news to report from it. Or, God forbid, before it.
Yeah. Also, I was able to actually get the fucking Instagram post to load, just to fill in some of the other gaps. Yeah, we also got, Lamb of God, too. Holy shit. Then, as far as the other solo performers, Jonathan Davis, apparently. Mike Borden of Faith No More. Rudy Sarzo, Sammy Hagar, Slash. Yeah, Sleep Token 2. And even Wolfgang Van Halen. So, we'll see what happens when July 5th rolls around. But, moving on from that to the latest updates in the lineup for the 2025 Vans Warped Tour. Now, like I said, we could wait until the end, but I choose to keep updated anyway because fuck you, I like making Excel sheets about data and stuff.
Louder Than Life is a similar thing. They're doing like one announcement per day. They're almost done, so I think we can talk about them next time.
Yeah, that works because at least they're presumably in one location and not like sporadically spread out like this. So anyway, so February 3rd, that is where we left off. That is the day we're going to start talking about. So the announcements starting from there include Of Mice and Men, who are seriously, they're still around?
Apparently so.
I don't even think Austin Carlisle is part of the lineup anymore. Anyway, yeah, the post-hardcore act made their debut in 2010. They're playing DC, Long Beach, and Orlando. Then, next after that, Orlando only, we have an act called Jeremy Romance and the Zero Friends Club. Now, I know Jeremy Romance is the main performer. He's apparently some kind of rapper. The Zero Friends Club, I have no idea what that refers to. Either way, he debuted in 2022. Then we have a rap rock band called Oxymorons, spelled with two R's, debuted in 2021. They're playing all 3 days. Then, one of the heavier bands on the roster announced so far, Left to Suffer, a deathcore act who have been, making albums and stuff since 2020. They're playing Long Beach in Orlando. And then following that, we have an alternative slash pop punk act called Jack K's. They debuted in 2021, and they're only playing Long Beach. So now, let's move on to, February 4th. The first announcement there being an act called SACE 6, as in, like, S-A-C-E and the number 6. I tried listening to one of their songs. They basically just sound like the newer Bad Omens material. It's kind of... Okay, so something you're going to notice with some of these announcements, I was trying to figure out where they debuted. I guess they started in 2023, because, like, some of these guys don't even have, like, full albums out yet, just, like, EPs and a few singles. But anyway, they're playing all 3 dates. Now we move on to a metalcore band called Not Enough Space. They debuted in 2021. They're only playing Orlando. The next act is exclusive to Long Beach, and I am, in fact, about to say the following name out loud, as they are booked for Warped Tour, Ian Dior.
Wait,
the same Ian Dior who did that insufferably basic song with 24K Golden.
Oh. Wait, oh my God, he's not a white, fan. White.
I don't fucking... Look, I just don't like that song. It's bland. It is Manila. But yeah, I guess if you really like your Ian Dior for some reason... And you need to see them alongside fucking Of Mice and Men. There you go.
This guy called his first album Industry Plant. Hilarious.
Oh, hilarious, yeah, that's
and
right.
Original. Ugh. And also, he did a song with Travis Barker and Machine Gun Kelly. Ew.
Listen, that wouldn't be the...
He did two songs with them. What the fuck?
Listen, that wouldn't be the worst name for a debut album I've ever heard. Fuck, I'm trying to remember what the guy's name was. I'm sure it'll come to me when I, if I look it up later. So, anyway, after that, we have a pop-punk band called Urethane, debuted in 2021. They're only playing DC. And this next one is exclusive to Long Beach. It is the electronicore act Enter Shikari, who haven't really impressed me with anything since 2013. And keep in mind, they've been around since 2007. So, yeah. Now we move on to February 5th, and, the first announced act, on that day was Seosin, because I guess we gotta meet our Anthony Green quota for the year. Remember the post-hardcore band who debuted in 2006? They're playing DC and Long Beach. Then we get a pop-punk band called A Loss for Words. They debuted in 2009, and they're only playing Orlando. This next one is, only playing DC and Orlando. Long Beach... You're spared. Escape the fate.
Oh, God. Why?
I mean, I guess it's not Ronnie Radke's Escape the Fate?
Redundant. Why?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Can I get a federal investigation into the dealings of Epitaph Records, please?
Maybe under a different administration.
Oh, I gotta wait 4 more years for it. Fuck everything!
Anyway, after that, we have an act called Barely Human. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Six Airly Human. Yeah, they use six in place of a B. There's some kind of EDM-based singer, apparently pretty big on TikTok. They've been at it since 2022. And they're playing Long Beach. And finally, exclusive to Orlando, we have a deathcore band called Traitors, who have been at it since 2015, at least. Alright, so now we move on to February 6th. And this first act I can actually vouch for, The Interrupters. They are a ska punk band. They've been at it since 2014. I actually saw them when they were touring with Sum 41. They're pretty fun. They're playing Long Beach in Orlando. Then after that, we got a pop punk act called People Are Ugly. Been at it since 2023. They're playing DC in Orlando. Then we have a singer named Taylor Acorn, who's been at it since 2023. And, okay, Apple Music was giving me really weird vibes, because, like, I was listening to her stuff, and it definitely sounded more like alt-rock pop-punk type stuff. But for some reason, the recommended similar artist tab was just nothing but a bunch of contemporary country singers, like fucking Luke Combs and shit. Which, I mean, maybe if you squint at her music, you can hear a bit of that yeehaw style in there, but, like, that's a reach. That is a Monkey D. Luffy level stretch. Then we have alternative emo act named Johnny Gilbert. They've been at it since 2018. They're playing Long Beach, Orlando. Then an act named Chirk Zavis. It's Travis, but with an X.
Oh, okay.
They've been at it since 2022. Again, mainly singles and an EP or two. And then they're playing Orlando. Now we have February 7th. I'm going to jump around a bit just to save the last two acts from this day to make some kind of a point, maybe. So starting at the top, we have an alternative emo band called Girlfriends. They debuted in 2020. They're playing all three dates. Then we have this emo trap artist named Jutes. They debuted in 2020. Definitely, yeah, they're playing Long Beach in Orlando. Low-key some Juice World vibes. Then we have a new metal band called Silly Goose.
Oh, those guys again.
I don't know what you're talking about. Dude, geese are not silly. They're fucking serious. Have you ever played Untitled Goose Game? Geese are bastards.
Well, I guess better a silly goose than a Canada goose. Canada gooses don't fuck around.
It's true. Have you ever seen that one regular show episode?
Or the Letterkenny episode.
That too. So, yeah, they debuted in 2021. They're playing DC and Long Beach. Then we have a pop-punk EDM act called 408, debuted in 2022, playing all three dates. Then a pop-rock act named Meg with two Gs, debuted in 2024, only playing Long Beach. And then there's the last two acts here, the ones that got the biggest reaction out of me personally, and not necessarily positive reactions. Uh-oh. First up, a name you have not thought about since 2006, the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Oh, that band.
I think we've talked about them once before. I think I mentioned, or someone mentioned, the Todd in the Shadows video about them. They're still putting out EPs. I don't know why, but they are, and yeah, definitely a very much a one-hit wonder third wave, fourth wave, mid-2000s emo band.
Yeah. And like I said, all three dates. And then the other act, which is only exclusive to Long Beach, and this is a name that as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh god, right. A fucking course they would book this guy. Anybody else but me familiar with an artist named TX2?
TX2?
No, I am not.
Oh, no.
I'm not surprised. This is one of those names you would only really know if you, like me, make the mistake of spending way too much time on TikTok. In fact, so he crosses my For You page sometimes. I've never liked any of the stuff he's heard, and more so than just, like, not being a good musician, in my opinion, at least. He's very much the face for... Like, I think this one YouTuber, Gabby Bell, put it best. He's kind of the face of the TikTokification of scene music. And also, I just fucking hate looking at his face. Like, I think he's got that bench... Okay, I'm just gonna put a picture of the guy in our chat. Can someone tell me how fucking old this guy is supposed to be? Because I swear to God, he's got that Benjamin Button disease.
Looks like he might be 30.
40?
See, I want to say 40. Like, he's a 40-year-old pretending he's still 25.
Oh, yeah, this looks like one of the guys I'd see on, like, a Nick Nocturnal, you cringe, you lose video.
You know what? I might have to watch those, because maybe he has. Maybe he has popped up in that shit, because he is just... Like I said, he's one of those guys who so desperately tries to get attention and weighs that plays to the TikTok environment, and it just... It's definitely compensating for the fact that he does not make good music. He's one of those guys that I've heard more than a few accusations of being an industry plant. I do not like it. I do not like this man's music. I do not like this man's face. I do not like his attitude. I do not like anything about him.
His smug aura mocks you, even.
Exactly!
Yeah,
always a good time for Always Sunny references.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a mid-2000s scene guy.
Yeah, mid-2000s, not mid-2020s.
The important thing is, he's always mid. Anyway, let's move on from that to the announcements for February 8th. Starting at the top, only playing in Orlando, we have Gravas. Gravas? Maybe. Either way, they're kind of like a more EDM dance type act, but very notably, at least to me, they feature, as part of their lineup, Frank Zummo, the drummer who played on Sum 41's last three albums. Like I said, relatively new, playing since 2023. Then, exclusive to Long Beach, we have an alternative band called Selfish Sons, active since 2021. Then, playing all three dates, we have a metalcore band called The Dark. Not The Darkness, The Dark. Important difference. Only really been added since 2024, or so roughly. Then we have El Centro, a band that's been active since at least 1999. They play some fucking Sublime Time shit. So take that as you will. They're only playing Long Beach. Then we have a pop-punk band called Grave Secrets, who have been active since 2022, also only playing Long Beach. Then, for the February 9th announcements, we have Jacob's Castle, an alternative act who is apparently also the son of Bradley Noel from Sublime. Oh my fucking god. I didn't even realize that when I was typing these notes out. I referenced Sublime twice.
So much and they... Sorry.
Nah, keep going.
So much Sublime. So much. It limited.
Okay. They've been mainly active since, like, 2024. Also, I'm trying to remember, because when I was scrolling through, like, trying to see what kind of stuff they have available on the streamers like Apple Music, I could swear it was Jacob's Castle, who had, as their most recently released thing, a single that had a guest appearance by Killer Mike.
Okay.
Very odd, but, anyway... then moving on from that, we have exclusive to Long Beach, an emo rapper named Bryce Vine. They've been active since 2019. Then we have Die, D-Y-E, how very search engine friendly.
Yeah.
Their style is very much the kind of shoegazy like type metal as like Deftones or Crosses. They've been active since 2024, mostly singles and stuff, also Long Beach. Then similarly, again, 2024, only singles, Long Beach, we have a pop-punk band called The Paradox. And that is pretty much about it for announcements as of this moment. Again, we're gonna pick back up next, week with whatever else they have to announce, and, God, please don't give me any mediocre TikTok shitheads again. I'm going to be very, very annoyed. But now we go from one spreadsheet to another spreadsheet. Because, ladies and germs, it is time for the list. What list, you might be wondering? Record Store Day 2025. Which is, of course, taking place... Shit, why did I forget to write down the date? Come on, where's the date? You're making me look stupid, website. Oh, April 12th, 2025. It was there in the logo. Fucking son of a bitch.
We can tell you that this year's Record Store Day list is, in fact, a list. Maybe even one of the lists of all time.
Boy, howdy, does it ever fit the qualifications of being a list for Record Store Day. Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest here. There's, like, I think the full list is about, like 337 things total. As far as stuff of note, I only really jotted down about 19. Yeah, that's kind of like the fundamental flaw baked into the premise of Record Store Day. The longer it goes on, the less special some of these listings are. It's like, there's only so much, like... Yeah, so I'm just going to go at it bit by bit. I'm going to start with the RSD first stuff, at least what I noted down, and then maybe Alex can follow in with other stuff that he finds interesting. Again, I'm only using the metric of me here right now. So let's start. Again, Record Store Day first. First up, we have The Eternal Idol, the 1987 release by the band Black Sabbath. The first with vocalist Tony Martin, who would sing across the next five or so albums, excluding that one where Dio came back, features the hit single, The Shining, and it's limited to 6,000 copies. It is one of the albums of all time.
It was the Tony Iommi solo project for a while, and it is... Oh, boy. You want to talk about... Yeah, I don't know what the proper terminology is. It's a very mixed bag.
Yeah, it's one of those. And then next on the list, I have Spirit Box, the EP that Flying Lotus had put out last year. It's coming out on a 12-inch vinyl, 2,500 copies. Then, while on the subject of hip-hop and stuff, You Only Die Once, the 2024 album from Freddie Gibbs, 4,000 copies. You know, that one album that was narrated by Black Jesus.
Yeah.
And still on that train, we have a 7-inch vinyl for Come Down, the single by Anderson .Paak, originally released on the 2016 album Malibu. Then we have Live on Tour 1993 by Rage Against the Machine. This one coming out on a double LP, limited to 15,000 copies. Wait, why did I say limited? That actually sounds like a lot, relatively speaking. Then after that, we have From Sun O, the release Oracle, an EP that initially came out in 2007. It's coming on colored vinyl with an exclusive poster, 1,500 copies. And last, and definitely least, we have a live release from Roger Waters, The Dark Side of the Moon Redux, specifically a performance from October 2023 at the Palladium in London. Neon pink vinyl, printed inner sleeve, 3mm spined LP sleeve, and had the honor of being Crash Thompson's second worst album of 2023.
Ugh. Yikes. Eep indeed. I'll fill in the blanks here. I'll mention some of the, notable releases for people who are clearly being marketed towards nowadays. A-ha, you know, the band that did Take On Me, they have Hunting High and Low, 1984 demos. It has a demo of Take On Me on there, so that's cool. For some reason, we have a Gracie Abrams live album from Radio City Music Hall.
Huh.
Okay.
Nepotism works. What do you want me to say? Kelsey Ballerini has the first time 10-year anniversary edition for all the country folks out there. Let's see. Barrison Ezra has How Does Your Garden Grow? For those of you who like late 90s alternative music. Blackstone Cherry has something called, and I quote, "This is Blackstone Cherry's RSD album. The band really likes it." It's just an assortment of unreleased tracks and B-sides and whatever. And, oh, goody. There's a Tracy Chapman cover on here because we're still going to do that. Cool. I don't know what to say. Here's something that I find interesting. Rob, you know about the band Cop Shoot Cop, right?
Sounds familiar. Remind me, that was the band that Strapping Young Lad covered on City, right?
Yeah, they covered the song Room 429. Great cover.
Hell yeah.
Cop Shoot Cop has their debut album Consumer Revolt coming out. It's a very limited release, 800 copies. So if you want very intense industrial music from that era, there you go. It might sound a little noisy, but that's just how it was. For those of you who like DSI, that band, Once Upon the Cross, 30th anniversary, that's coming out. Cool. Peter Gabriel has something coming out. OVO. It is an album. There's no information here on the listing, so there you go. Just thought it was worth mentioning. For those of you who like pinball, we have Black Knight, Sword of Rage, music from the original Pinball soundtrack, written and performed by Brendan Small and Scott Ian.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's instrumental metal music from a pinball game. Only 1,200 copies, so that'll be an instant sellout. So, get it while you can, kids. We have The Killers and Bruce Springsteen Encore at the Garden. It's a 12-inch single. But sure, I guess. Cool. What else we have here? Oh, for those of you who like very old-school jazz, Charles Mingus. Mingus at Monterey. It's a live album from, I don't know when, but it's from a very, very long time. Okay, here it is. 1964, the Monterey Jazz Festival in California. So there's that. Oasis, Time Flies, 1994 to 2009. I'm only mentioning this so you all can avoid it. just go away. Go away! We have here a 7-inch single from Rise Against, Nod. Cool. Their first new music in 3 years, so there's more to come, I guess. From that one band you know from 1999, Sixpence None the Richer. Live at Green Hall, a concert from just a couple months ago.
Who the fuck?
Remember the song Kiss Me from pop radio in the year 1999?
No.
Or that cover of the song There She Goes?
No.
I am really showing my age, good lord. I cannot be blamed for liking certain types of music when I was 5 years old, okay? Anyway, bunch of other albums here. Sly the Family Stone has an album coming out, live album from 1967. Sun Ra has a couple albums coming out. The band T-Rex has Bolin B-sides, so stuff from the 70s, that's pretty cool. What else can I find that's worth mentioning? Remy Wolf, You're a Dog, I'm Allergic to Dogs. Does that count for something?
I don't know.
I am reaching here. There's not a whole lot here. Just, we've been doing this whole Record Store Day thing for like 15 years. We're starting to run out of albums to come out.
Yeah, like I said, that's kind of the problem. But anyway,
nevertheless, we persist.
Let's, in the meantime, shift over to the RSD exclusive material. Starting at the top, we have Burger Dog Picture Disc, a limited edition 7-inch picture disc taken from a mini-sode of the series Bluey, featuring exclusive artwork, perfectly positioned within the 2025 Bluey brand theme Let's Play Chef. I don't know, I was just copying stuff in the description.
This episode of Bluey is called Vinyl.
And how? Anyway, speaking of 7-inch vinyls, we have one from Charlie XCX. It's for the Guest remix featuring Billie Eilish. 10,000 copies. And speaking of Charlie XCX, we also have a release called Number One Angel. This being an LP, 10,000 copies. A collection of tracks recorded at her LA residence and in the UK, alongside A.G. Cook, with production from Sophie, EZFX, John Hill, Life Sim, and Danny L. Harrell on an apple-colored vinyl.
Yeah, this was a mixtape from back in 2017, so we're pulling some older stuff here now.
Yep. Speaking of colored vinyls, we have an album from 1999, Point Number One, the debut from the band Chevelle, which, as a reminder, I've always been cold on them. But, I mean, if you're into them and you want to have this on a lemonade-colored vinyl, there you go, it's there. 1,800 copies. Have fun fighting each other over it. Then we have, limited to 6,475 copies, oddly specific, we have a picture disc for the 1975 self-titled album from Fleetwood Mac. Then, following that, we have, Live from the Apollo Theater, Demon Days, you know, a Gorillaz live release on a double LP, limited to 6,500 copies. And then from, let me see here, Vince Guaraldi, we have selections from It's the Easter Beagle, Charlie Brown, celebrating its 75th anniversary, 4,300 copies on an Easter egg-shaped 10-inch vinyl. So, you know, if you love your Charlie Brown, there you go. Also, he did, in fact, have hoes.
Yeah, he did.
And moving on from that, on a double LP, 5,000 copies, we have Megan Thee Stallion's album Traumazine on vinyl for the first time. Then we have another double LP, this one just 2,000 copies, this being the soundtrack to the 2024 film adaptation of Wicked. It's pressed on green glitter and pink glitter vinyl, with exclusive cover art, and even a bonus track, Oz Dust Duet, that previously was only released digitally. It's also got a special poster in it, so if you really like Wicked, there you go. And then we have, from Joey Valance and Bray, Good Songs by JVB. It's a compilation that takes stuff from their first three releases, the 2022 Underground Sound EP, of course the LP Punk Tactics, and No Hands. It, of course, has guest appearances from the likes of Danny Brown, Aisha Erotica, and even a cover of 365 by Charlie XCX. That's a thing that exists.
Fancy that.
And that's pretty much all I got for the RSD exclusive stuff.
All right, I can fill in some gaps here. Mention some of the, I guess, bigger titles, a.k.a. also Ones to Avoid. Like, From A Day to Remember, Attack of the Killer B-Sides. This is from 2010 and has, of all things, a Kelly Clarkson cover and a The Fray cover.
Oh.
I don't know why. Was this, like, from a pop goes punk or punk goes pop or whatever it was from back then?
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. Well, it's just one of those things, I guess. Let's see here. From the B-52s, for those of you who like the B-52s, there is the B-52s, the debut album on a picture disc. It has, you know, Rock Lobster on there. So, you know, go crazy with that, with all you damn kids with your Family Guy references and whatnot. Okay, from Blur, we have a Zoetrope picture disc of the Magic Whip. So, later era Blur, but you know, yeah. I'm sure it'll appeal to some folks out there. The Cure, they have the head on the door on a picture disc. So that's pretty cool. Cypress Hill, Live at the Fillmore, a double album from the Fillmore in San Francisco. Want to get crazy. De La Soul has a double 7-inch vinyl thing here, Bigger / Respect. Well, so it says here, originally recorded in 2004 for the grind date, but never made it through the finished version. So there you go. Lost Tracks. And we have that from Del the Funky Homo Sapien and The Good News, This Just In. Yeah, The Good News is a hip-hop band. We're also sort of a cartoon animated band thing, whatever. Mm. Yeah, it's one of those things. From Doctor Who, as it says here, we have 10th Planet, which is a radio drama, I think. Hmm. Would not surprise me, but yeah, that's cool. That's history preservation. For some reason, we're getting three live piano things from Fred again.
Huh.
I don't know why, but sure. We have here from David Gilmour with Romany Gilmour, Between Two Points, a collection of this is basically from the track from the album Luck and Strange. So, cool. What else can I find? What else can I find that's worth mentioning? Apparently we have the deluxe version of Wanna from Gunna on vinyl. Yeah, may as well. From George Harrison and Beck, Be Here Now, RSD Song of the Year. Had it not been for a very old and now missing Bennett the Sage video, I would not have realized what a plagiarist George Harrison was for most of his career.
Yeah, I remember that video.
Yeah. There's also, from George Harrison, All Things Must Pass on a Zoetrope disc, and, yep, My Sweet Lord's on there. Fucking plagiarism. You're not off the hook either, Phil Spector. You're just as guilty.
God, where's H. Bomber guy when you need him?
Unfortunately, both these men are dead, so we can't do anything about it.
We could always resurrect them with necromancy.
Oh, if only it were that easy. Okay, from Bam Margera's favorite band, him, we have a 12-inch picture disc single, Join Me, which is the song Join Me in Death, which, sure, I guess, may as well. We also have Brittany Howard, live from Austin City Limits. That's pretty cool. From Jethro Tull, Songs for the Vault, from the Vault, 70s cuts, which has Stephen Wilson's stereo remixes on here, which is neat, I guess. Live Judas Priest album from 1982, Geddy Lee's The Lost Demos, that one-off solo debut thing he did in 2000, so that's cool. Oh, it's only just a couple songs. It's only two songs. Oh, okay then. That's something. From John and Yoko Ono, the Plastic Ono Band, Elephant's Memory. That's just what it says here. Power to the People, live at the 1-to-1 concert. New York City, 1972. Should have taken the brown acid. Can you tell that they're really trying to stretch this whole thing out here? Good Lord. There's a lot of boomer shit here. Mark Morton from Lamb of God. He has something coming out, Without the Pain, which I believe is going to be the new album.
Hmm.
Yeah. Cool track listing here. It's got, we'll have to keep an eye out for that. From Motley Crue, we have a picture disc single, Smoking in the Boys' Room, Home Sweet Home, whatever. From Papa Roach, for some reason, Leave a Light On, Talk Away the Dark, a 12-inch single. A for effort, but no, the song is terrible. From Post Malone, a tribute to Nirvana. He did a live stream in April of 2020 that was a Nirvana covers concert. Again, appreciate the efforts, but no. Just no. God, what else do we have here? Oh my God!
What the fuck?
Lou Reed! Metal Machine Music! Often regarded as one of the worst, most poorly received albums in history. It is just a barrage of noise. For like an hour straight.
That just sounds like an idea of a fun time to me. Then again, I have zero context for the man's music at all, so...
I have heard this album. It is most definitely an art piece, if nothing else. And that's me putting it at best. Oh my God, they're really releasing that album of all things. Jesus! But in terms of actually good progressive rock, Todd Rundgren, Initiation, the album from 1975... It has a 36-minute instrumental on it.
Huh.
Yeah, Todd Rundgren's a weird guy, but I can respect it. Okay, what else do we have? Oh, God. Starship, We Built the City on a picture disc. One of the worst songs ever. Written.
I don't know, man. I've heard worse. Like, I've listened to Ice JJ Fish. Starship is tame by comparison.
Fair, but to me, it's also one of the most annoying songs ever written. It's just... fuck off. Let's see. What else we have in terms of, like, the compilations? Version Suicide's Deluxe, 25th Anniversary Edition, that soundtrack. That could be cool, I guess. Let's see. There is Over the Edge, the soundtrack to that movie from 1979. So if you like 70s rock, there you go. Wang Chung, Everybody Have Fun Tonight. Sure. Why not? The world sucks. Let's have some fun whenever we can get it. Is there anything else I can find here? I have here Wu-Tang and Mathematics, Black Samson, The Bastard Swordsman, Wu-Tang, The Saga Continues Collection. Good Lord, that's a mouthful.
Yes.
Oh, and may as well just throw this in here from Youngblood. A 7-inch single of When We Die, Can We Still Get High? In collaboration with Lil Yachty.
You know, you didn't have to throw that in there.
Of course.
We could have just existed in peace without it.
Well, I needed something to close things off on. I may as well go with the most cringy thing possible.
Ugh. Well, at least that means I can do not cringe here. With literally the only thing I found interesting in the RSD Limited Run Regional Focus stuff. It's called Video Games Lo-Fi, Kuraga Records Sampler. Hiraga Records is excited to announce a limited edition release for RSD 2025, featuring 12 meticulously crafted lo-fi hip-hop tracks inspired by nostalgic video game music. The exclusive vinyl album features vibrant and warm tape-saturated drums, smooth bass lines, jazzy overtones, and lush ethereal chill-hop renditions of video game music from games like Kingdom Hearts, Metroid, Zelda, Undertale, and more. I don't know, that's the only thing that stood out to me there.
I got nothing. I'm looking around here. I got nothing.
See what we mean when we say it's one of the lists of all time?
Yeah. Like, the only thing I can think of that has some bit of notoriety to it are the soundtrack to Top Secrets with Val Kilmer on it, and of all things, a fucking Party Next Door EP re-release. We're in bad times here.
Yeah. Man, they really do be going through it.
Yeah. Used to be, you could just get a really cool variant of popular albums. Now it's just whatever else there is. Like, oh my god, why are we doing a new release of From Today, of all bands?
Fucking hell.
I saw them live one time. That was enough for me.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to pass this year.
Same, only because I have, like, no joke, no more room for on my shelves for albums. Like, I'm overflowing as it is. Giggity.
But yeah, that's it for the list. Then that just leaves us with one last thing to touch on before we get on out of here. That is the new album releases for the week of February 14th, 2025, Valentine's Day. So starting at the top, we have a new album from the metal group Mantar with Post-Apocalyptic Depression. Then we have the newest studio album from Lacuna Coil with Sleepless Empire. And funny you brought up Party Next Door, because they're actually a part of this album here. It's actually a posthumous collaboration with Drake, titled Some Sexy Songs For You.
Oh, you know what label Party Next Door assigns you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so he's an OV ho?
Yes.
Fuck that owl! Smash it into bits!
This is the one I was shooting in the face.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to hear the final works of Drake before he passed away. Well, after he passed away, you know what I mean. And then, of course, last and maybe least, depending on how you look at it, we have the newest album from Alessia Cara with Love and Hyperbole.
Oh yeah, she was a thing.
Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places, the Discord, the Blue Sky platform, you know where to find me, and I'll just pop up whenever I feel like it, because I hate promoting myself, so, my throat's very dry, I need some water, so peace.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, Blue Sky, Metro Media, and other places and site, of course, my site, I'm on hypewarn.wordpress.com, yeah.
And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@sororesolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at sororesolution. Visit the website sororesolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff, and be sure to find a link there to our Discord server so you can chat and be immediately notified whenever new stuff goes on the site. That'll about do it for this week. We'll of course be back eventually with the album roundup and more weekly business and stuff, so until then, when did George Lopez start looking like the dude in Hunter x Hunter with the giant pipe?